at this time?
I have got the mic. You know, buddy, I want to tell you, that's the first time I've heard the term spiritual anorexia in my life. I think it's quite obvious I don't have physical anorexia.
You don't have spiritual either.
But that's the first time I think I've heard that statement. So, family, welcome. Good to see you all here this morning. Brother David and I are here to explain to you and to kind of review the process of a call of a next pastor. Now, what's being handed out to you right now, hopefully you're all getting it, is the the leadership feels are the qualifications, the abilities, the skill set needed in a new pastor for our church. So you'll see there's two sides to it. And we are going to be going through this with you and talking to everyone over the next several weeks as we go through this process of calling a new pastor. But to begin with, before we take a look at that, I thought it's very important that you understand the process of calling a pastor. We have been given by God a constitution for this church. It was initiated years ago when this church first started. Interesting enough, you can find this on the Bukitty Bible Fellowship website, and it starts with, who is the head of our church? God. That's how it starts, that's how it should end, that's how it should always be. Okay, so your part in this, and our part in this, is simple. The leadership, discerning with the Lord, going to him in prayer and conversation, determine who the nominee is that we're going to put forth to the congregation. And we have done that. And we are united in who we're going to put forth. The congregation then has to vote for this nominee, and 75% of the membership has to vote in favor of it. But ultimately, the decision really needs to be God's decision. The same way we go to God in discernment for who the nominee should be, we are praying and hoping that you will go to God in thinking about this and praying about this and talking to him about this. Amen. So that it's really God's decision, and God moves 75% of the people, the membership of this church, to vote for the final nominee. Is that clear? It's not that complicated. You know, and we'll have a process, you know, how we're going to do this. We're going to give enough weeks, let enough weeks go by so that there's questions and answers. You can talk to the leadership. We'll put more things out in the following weeks for you to see and for us to talk about. Right? But the ultimate decision really needs to be God's decision. Now, if 75% of the people are not moved by the Lord to vote for the nominee, then we go through the process of calling another pastor. Okay? Our nominee at the moment that we will be putting forward to you when that vote eventually comes is going to be Brian. We all know Brian. Okay, we've heard him preach. We know him. The leadership feels that there is a reason why he is here at this time, that he has been called by God for this church. God knew years ago that Buddy and Letty were going to be leaving. This isn't news to the Lord. And there's a reason why God brought Brian here. There's a reason why Brian went through all the work over the last couple of years to learn and become an ordained pastor. He did the night work, the school work. He worked with Buddy, our pastor, so he could become ordained. There's a reason God put Brian through that. There's a reason why he's been going through all the training. There's a reason why I've had the opportunity to talk to him, and David has the opportunity to talk and to learn and to know this young man. Is he a perfect candidate? No. You're not going to find a perfect candidate unless Jesus comes back. Okay? But
He might. He will.
And with luck, we won't even have to go through this vote. Okay? But there's a reason why the Lord brought Brian here. The leadership feels that way. But essentially, God has to move 75% of the membership of this church to vote for Brian. Before I go any further, are there any questions thus far? Any at all? Yes. Okay, the question is, who qualifies as a member?
That's a good question.
Okay, well, this is one of the things that's been on my heart for quite a while now, because I really studied the constitution of this church before I came on board and before I became an elder, and it's something that has troubled me. The constitution says that membership has to be initiated by the leadership, and that just hasn't happened in this church. I don't know why. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not upset by it. So I spent a lot of time discussing this with God and asking, you know, how do we move forward? And I believe what he's told me was that essentially I was right. We have an obligation as leadership to constitute membership in this church and to make members so that we are following the constitution he gave us. But he also told me that his flock are not his flock by the law. They're his flock by the Spirit. And so the flock by the Spirit, the people that we know, our brothers and sisters, and we know you and you know us, those are going to be the people who are going to be voting on the next pastor. All right? Now, if 20 people show up that we've never seen before, obviously we're not going to let them vote. But we know our flock, and you know us, and we're God's flock by the Spirit, not by the law. So that's how we're going to move forward as membership when we finally take the vote. Any other questions? No others? Yes. Okay, so what was said was that Brian preached a phenomenal sermon and that she would like to hear Brian preach again. So would I. Okay, there's no question about it. I like to hear Brian preach on a regular basis. I loved his sermon, and I think he's going to give us nothing but fantastic sermons led by the Lord. But keep in mind, no matter who we call here as a church, if we were just a normal church in the United States and we called a new pastor, we would hear that pastor preach once. Before that pastor, we have to make a decision on that person as a pastor for the church. How many here have been part of a pastor search committee? I know a lot of you. All right. Isn't that the way it goes?
Yeah.
You fly the new guy in, and he comes in, and he preaches once, and you go through the interview process, you ask him the questions, and all the rest of it, and then a decision has to be made. So while I would love to hear Brian preach more, I don't know if that's essentially what we need to make a decision on who the next pastor is. Hopefully we'll hear Brian preach more before we actually do the vote. All right? Any other questions?
Can we listen to his sermon, those that didn't hear it?
Yes, also Brian's sermon is online. Thank you. And so if you haven't heard Brian's sermon, which is phenomenal, I would ask you to please go online and listen to it. It's just powerfully done. Yes. The question was, can you remind us what week that was on? And the answer is June 24th. So if you go to the website, June 24th, you'll be able to see that. Okay, so you have in front of you what we consider, the leadership considers, the skill set, the abilities that we should have in a new pastor. I want you to understand something on the section A where it says desired abilities and skills. The first three or four there that you're looking at, when you read that, do you have a copy? Okay, when you read that, preaching, teaching, leading, those things, I want you to think preaching, teaching, leading faithfully to the Word of God. We do not mean number of years put in preaching, teaching, and leading. We mean preaching, teaching, and leading faithful to God's Word. We could call a pastor with 30 years of experience, and if he doesn't preach according to the Word of God, we're not going to be in good shape. So that's what we mean when we're talking about the abilities. Everything should be faithful to God and faithful to His Word. Any questions? You know, I spent many, many years with an international company, and I was considered expert in the hiring process, effective interviews, and unfortunately with also legal and ethical terminations. But I trained managers all over the country on effective hiring, interview skills, how to ask open-ended questions, how to look for the answers, how to get the interviewee to talk. And I gave classes on this. And I can tell you that no matter how much work you do in the interview process, all right, when it's all said and done, you're still left with a question mark. People, it's almost impossible to know for certain. You only know for certain on an average of 3 to 6 months after the person is hired whether you've made the right choice. Now, we're fortunate here in that most of the stuff you're reading in front of you, we know about the initial candidate that we have, Brian, that the leadership feels to put before you. We've lived with Brian. We've worked with Brian. We're not concerned about Brian's ethics. We know Brian's ethics, his heart for the Lord. We know Brian's heart for the Lord. Does he preach strictly to the Word of God as God teaches us? Yes, he does. So we know most of this about the initial candidate we have, and we wouldn't know most of this about anybody we would call after Brian, should Brian not be God's choice through you. Did I make that clear? You have a question. Okay, the question is, does Brian want the position? We have put Brian before you. And we would not have done that. That's a good question. But we would not have done that if Brian wasn't interested in the position. Brian, like us, feels he was led here for a purpose as well. Again, none of that's happening today is a surprise to God, right? He knew this was going to be coming. Yes, you had another question. The question is, if we get a different pastor, does Brian stay on as the executive pastor? Now, here I'm going to be very blunt with you, okay? Obviously, we would want Brian to stay on as the administrative pastor, the executive pastor. But let's be realistic. If a person is called and nominated and then denied or rejected by a congregation, In this person's mind, I would assume he's going to be thinking that his path is somewhere else. I would doubt very much that he would be around that long. I would want him to be around forever. But he has to think of his future. He's now ordained. He now needs experience. He would want to do things with his wife and his family. He was called here for a purpose, and that purpose would no longer, in his mind, might not be there. I'm just supposing here, you understand. But we have to be realistic about it. You know, I don't. David, do you feel any different?
Not at all. I think that God called him here for a purpose. He is our executive pastor. He's done a phenomenal job in the past several months. I think that he is well qualified. Wisdom-wise, he has more wisdom for anybody of his age that I know of. He has done a phenomenal job. Does that mean he doesn't make mistakes? Oh, no. I make mistakes every day. Every one of us make mistakes. And Brian makes mistakes. And we have to learn to deal with those things. And that's some of the things I think we will do.
Question? Yes. All right. It's been pointed out that clearly Bob was confused by the last question. Excellent clarification is the question was, if Brian is called to be our pastor, will he also remain as our executive pastor as well? I do not yet have the answer to that question. I don't know what to tell you. The leadership has not gone there yet. The leadership has also not started looking for other people. In other words, just in case God doesn't move the congregation, we can have some backup. That's called covering I forget the last word. And it also shows unfaithfulness, right? If we're trusting and faithful to God, we shouldn't be looking to cover ourselves. We should move forward as God calls us and as he leads us and in trust and faith and not worry about those things. Yes.
If I could, I'd like to address that last issue, because Brian and I have talked about that. In my understanding, if he does become the pastor, he will no longer continue to be the executive pastor, and that a number of the things that Brian does will be passed on to other people. He could not do both jobs. But there's a number of things he does that a number of you can do. And so if he is called, that's one of the things I'll be working hard on, is helping identify the things that we can pass on to other people. There may be a few things that just don't get done anymore that he's doing. But, no, he would be called to be the pastor and the pastor only of the flock.
One second. Can you tell them how long you've committed to work with Brian?
Yeah, I do want y'all to know, and I believe this is what I want to do, but this is absolutely what I believe God wants me to do. I am committed to meet with Brian weekly for 1 year and meet with Tammy weekly, if she desires, for 1 year, and the elders every other week for 1 year. I want to do that. God made it clear he wants me to do that, so I will be continuing. If Brian is called and Brian has said this is his desire and Rachel has made it very clear that it's her desire, that I continue to work and mentor Brian. I would like to make it very clear, if the church does do that and wants to do that, I will not be leading anymore, that your elders and Brian and David, as chairman of the deacon board, will be leading this church, and I will offer input and be assisting, but I will no longer be calling the shots. Well, I don't. I try to let God call the shots, but I'll not be the one discerning what it is that God wants. I'll just be assisting, because I have great confidence in God being able to. God made it real clear to me. He said, we're not moving to Plan B because I'm moving to Westbrook's. He said, I'm the head of this church. And he said, no offense, Westbrook, I don't need you. And he doesn't. And he's going to do that.
I'd like to feel led to share something with you. Here's what my notes look like after a meeting with Buddy. Number one, ask God about Number two, ask God about Number three. Ask God about, so you can see, that's what notes look like when you.
And that's important to understand, because that's how we try to operate as a church. The church leadership really believes that our Lord should be making the decisions. And if we were to call somebody besides Brian, more than likely we'd be calling somebody with a whole different philosophy and a whole different way of doing church. You know, they're going to come with their way of it. They've done it someplace else, and it probably wouldn't really match our thinking of how church should be done here in Boquete. So that's something for you to consider. There's a question in the back. Okay, so what was asked was, what will be the procedure after the congregation has done their individual discernment with God? How will that be related? Now, you can come to us, the leadership, anytime to talk to us. And we'll talk to you anything. We'll answer any question you have, and we'll put ourselves available to you. But as far as your discernment with the Lord is concerned, it's going to translate into your vote, all right, and how you vote. On the day we have an official vote, a blind vote where you turn in your ballot into a box, and a group that we will ask to count for us so that they can tell us how it goes, that will be between you and God. It will be your vote and your discernment with the Lord and how you answer that. Does that answer your question? Okay. There's another question? Yes. The question is, do we know when the vote will be? We have not yet decided on a date for a vote. We want to get Brian back here. We want to share a little more information with you in the coming weeks, give the congregation a chance to talk to us, give you a chance to spend some real quality time talking with God. It doesn't have to be in 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be all today. It could be over the next couple of weeks. Really, really try and discern what God wants. And I think that's very important for us. I don't think this should be rushed at all. Yes, George.
Okay, I have a question that was followed by someone out here about membership. Okay, my question is, I see people, like when Dave always mentions, is there any new members? When Dave mentions, is there any new members, and people stand up, and there might be 3, 4, 5, or 6 members. So sometimes the members, people might come for 2, 3 days, or 2, 3 Sundays, they go, and then they might come back again, or back and forth. So when we vote, how do we decide
who would we give the paper to vote?
Okay, did everyone hear that? George is asking, you know, people sometimes come and go in churches, and how is it going to be decided who is going to be allowed to vote? And we have not yet discerned with the Lord how that's going to work. I can tell you just without going to God and just thinking off the top of my head, there are a lot of people here who have been here for a long time. We know who the flock members are. We know who comes on a fairly regular basis. And so I really don't think it's going to be that complicated. If we just ask everybody to decide spiritually, if you consider yourself a member of this church and you come before us and say, I really feel called, like I am a member of this church and I want to vote, I think we're probably going to let you vote. I don't think our goal is to try and eliminate people. I think our goal is to try and bring it before God and spiritually discern who the members of the flock is, both the person and both the leadership. Yes. All right, so the question was that he doesn't know how Brian stacks up to all these individual skills and qualifications that we have. This is some of the things we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. We didn't want to make this an hour-long meeting after the service, so we have more meetings coming with you to discuss some of those very issues. We have another one where Brian's going to discuss how he feels he's been spiritually led by the Lord for this position. So there's more coming. It's not just going to be today. But it's a good question. Yes, behind you.
There are several of us that have been here for years, and we want to make sure we are able to vote. And with not having a voting date, several people have different trips planned for a week, 2 weeks. Is there a way to ensure that our vote will be counted because you don't know when the date is?
Yeah, we're going to give advance notice of when the date is. And if worse comes to worse and you're gone or something, you can let us know in advance. You can let us know. We'll make it multiple ways so that people can get their vote. Again, the idea is not to eliminate people. The idea is to be all-inclusive so all of God's flock has a chance to state how they're discerned from God. Yes. Is it possible to get a written bio data on Brian? I'm sure it is. I mean, I don't see why. I think Brian's already worked on some of that now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's actually worked on some of that now, and he will be sharing that, I think, when he comes back. He should be back when?
Next Sunday.
So there's some things there that he will be sharing with us. Yes, written. Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Corey?
I have to apologize. It was just too much for me to take in and sort of digest and put into it. Can you give me like one?
Can I answer? Okay, you're going to use this, James? You got me recorded? Let me answer that. That's an excellent question. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. And so how does he lead? And how's that discerned? It's discerned by the elders. Now, as y'all know, we've not always had the number of elders that we need. David has actively been a discerning leader in our church. Tammy has also, along with Brian. And so no one has the ability to make a decision independently of the elders in this church. And the way we do it, and I want y'all to know this has happened. If now it's Bob and Brian and me are the elders, David has been one for been operating as a shepherd for years, and we go to the Lord and we come back with different things from God. So that's what we do. We first meet individually with the Lord, and then we share with each other what God is saying. And it has happened before that someone is saying, no, we're not to do this, and some are saying, yes, we are to do this. And so what we do at that point is we all take what each other has heard from the Lord, go to the Lord about that, and ask Him to talk to us. Every time so far that we have done that, God has clarified exactly what He has for us, and many times it's not been that someone missed it, but their concern and what God spoke to them needed to be factored into how we were going to implement something. If there is a log jam on the elder board and they don't move, then we've agreed we're going to go outside the church to leaders that are at least as spiritually mature as we are, that also believe that God can communicate, and they're going to help us make that decision. So there is no, what happens in a log jam? Does the senior pastor call the shots? I've never done that. I've never had to do it. And if I'm involved with Brian, I guarantee you he will never do it either. Does that answer the question? Good.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Greater minds than mine had to take over. Yes.
Okay. I have a question. Someone mentioned this before about Brian's education and training, whatever, and you said he's in the process. My question is, has Brian, in the past, has he ever done any theological training, seminar training, or pastoral training for this position?
Well, he's been working with Buddy for several years now. Buddy, maybe you would help us with that.
Yeah, let me answer that, too. If Brian is going to be the pastor, he's already ready to enroll at Masters. I can't remember the name of the school, but it's Masters Seminary or something like that. It's the one y'all are familiar with. He'll be doing that, but I have been mentoring him for the last 2 years. And so again, it's only my perspective, although Tammy has gotten a lot of what I have too, is I have mentored him such that, in my opinion, there's not deficits in his education. My personal opinion, as Brian and I have discussed, is I think it would be well for him to have a more official theological education, and he would be engaging that as early as September if he is chosen as a pastor of this church. There's a chance he would be doing it anyway. And actually, the pastor of the church where Letty and I are going is on the faculty of Masters, and we've already communicated, and he has expressed his desire to kind of sponsor Brian and assist him in being able to work through the Master's Seminary and get his master's degree. So that's really exciting. And by our pastor in Texas sponsoring Brian, he gets a diminished tuition. His tuition is reduced, and there's other things that comes along with the church sponsoring someone. So we think that's pretty cool to already have happened.
All right. Brother David would like to say a few words.
Not only in the secular field, he is a civil engineer. He graduated from North Alabama in Huntsville with a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. So he has an education, maybe not biblically, but there are so many good online courses in theological seminary. Our pastor back in North Alabama, he actually went through several years through online courses, and he got his degree that way. So there are good places that he can go to get a biblical bachelor's degree or whatever.
Master's. It'll be a master's degree.
Master's degree in divinity. So there are plenty of places that he can go to online, whether it be through this church there where Buddy's at or through any of the other theological seminaries.
Any final questions? All right, so the work now ahead of us is on you, right? We need you to start praying and discerning through God how we're to move forward as a church, right? And we want it to be God's decision. You also we'll have other questions. We understand that. So this process is going to move forward like that, and we'll have more of these types of conversations as we go forward. And I'd like to ask, David, would you do us the favor and close us in prayer?
Bob, we'll be going over all of these spiritual qualifications.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Just we're going to, as we advance
right.
going forward.
We want them to know that all of these will be covered with Brian.
Yes.
Every area.
Everything you see on that paper is going to be covered with Brian and reviewed. And this is all part of the process. Yes. Okay, Daryl says he'll be translating that into Spanish for us over the next week. Okay? All right. Brother?
Let's all stand and let's have a closing benediction in prayer, please. Our Father, we thank you so much for a time in which we can come together in sweet unity. And Lord, just praying for the next pastor of Boquete Bible Fellowship. Lord, we pray that you will guide us as we search your will. Lord, as we humbly come before you and asking your will to be done for our next leader. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you have put before us. Lord, I pray for our membership here. Lord, that they will step forward and take over the responsibilities that you have given us, Lord, as we lose Buddy. Lord, we need to have more discernment, and we ask each one of them, that each one of these people here, that they will pray and ask your guidance and direction. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the privilege of being in your house just to glorify and worship you and praise you for who you are. Lord, you've done so much for us. You died on that cross. You paid that sin debt, and Lord, you were raised again on that third day. And Lord, we just give you glory and honor and praise for that. Thank you again for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.